Hello, hello. Welcome to episode number surprisingly high. I think we're up to 15, actually. Episode 15 of Not the Wikipedia Weekly. We've got quite a large room full of interested Wikipedians talking about stuff today. I'll just introduce you to everyone here one by one, getting to say hello. First of all, we've got Adrian.
Hello.
There's Adrian. Special guest, really, having fresh from the Sydney drinks yesterday, we've got user Angela.
Hi.
And we've got user Daniel from Adelaide.
Hi.
Derova from San Diego.
Hello.
Phil from Massachusetts? I could be making that up.
Maryland, basically.
But Maryland,
it begins with an M.
It begins with an M, close enough. A place that doesn't begin with an M is Holland, and we've got Kim Bruning.
Hello.
And there's still four to go, believe it or not. We've got Seddon69 from Wales.
Hello, it's me.
And Shoemaker's Holiday from Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, yes. Hello.
And to top it off, we've got a user, Anthony, who's listening, and I'll explain a word more on that in a moment. But our last but not least, by no means least guest, is WJB Scribe. Evening, WJB.
Good evening.
Okay, well, before, just obviously thanks all you guys for coming. Just a word on Anthony and the listening. The idea is that folks can come along and listen to these chats if they like. There's a concurrent text chat that's going on there. So we can, you know, if you're listening, you can always type some responses if you're a bit shy to talk, or if you're a bit, you know, if you don't have a microphone, that's always an option. We'll kick off the topics. We've got a few things to cover today. Probably quite a lot to talk about admins today, about RFA and about the IRC channel and about de-sysopping and stuff like that. But there's some different news to start with, which is this is a very Australian Skype cast. And Daniel, the Australian chapter was kind of born a couple of weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago. Can you just tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. The Australian chapter's been in proposal for a while now, and it sort of come to a head towards the end of last year, the start of this year. And we had our incorporation meeting 2 weeks ago now, I think you said, and we basically agreed to incorporate Wikimedia Australia in Victoria, which was a big step, and now we're just pushing through the final bit with Consumer Affairs Victoria, which is where it's going to be incorporated. At the moment, we're still just sorting out, finally, a new statement of purposes, because Consumer Affairs changed their mind about our original one. They didn't think it was detailed enough. So if you join the mailing list, wikimediaau-l, you can give your input. I think the statement of purposes is on Meter as well, so... And we're just finalising that now, and then we'll be good to go. You can, after we get incorporated, we can start getting membership and start getting fully organised, and then we can push forward to our AGM, I think later this year, and then we'll be good to go. The role of a chapter is basically to promote Wikimedia's goals, which is free content, free knowledge in that country, and specific to that country. So obviously Australia's chapter will focus on Australian content and promoting free knowledge in Australia and even Wikimania in Australia as well.
Well, that's a very interesting thing you should mention that. The Sydney drinks last night, we had a little mini meetup, which we're hopefully planning to do every couple of months or possibly every month. The Sydney contingent were, I think, pretty positive about the chapter. I actually had a bit of a question, Daniel. Is it, if you're Australian but you live overseas, can you join the Australian chapter?
Personally, I would push the yes. Like, there's no reason why people, especially expats or people like that who couldn't join, obviously that'll be sorted out when we sort out the committee, when we sort out the membership rules, basically, because it doesn't say anything in the, in our bylaws or anything prohibiting it. It's basically just interested parties who are willing to pay the membership fee and be a part of it. So I can't see why not, to be honest, and I agree that it would be better if we don't. If we do allow, that we don't prohibit it.
And that's sort of an I to be dotted, a T to be crossed. I'll bring you in at this point, Angela, just because it's great to have you here. Could you just give a sort of 30-second bio of your who you are and your involvement with Wikimedia and stuff?
Yeah, I've been editing Wikipedia since 2003. I was on the Board of Trustees, and I'm now on the Advisory Board, and I'm also a co-founder of Wikia.
And you'll be joining the Aussie chapter, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. And we've got, if you're out there and if you edit Wikimedia in Australia, or if you are an Australian, I think we'd like as many members as possible for the chapter, really. There's been a bit of the restructuring, and I'll bring Darover, if you're around, I'll bring you in at this point, because the role of chapters really does seem set to grow, in particular with the recent board announcements. What's your take on the whole growth of chapters, Darover?
Well, apparently the barrier to United States chapters is ending. This was something that's been an issue for a lot of us in North America. Since the Wikimedia Foundation is headed in this country, it's been more difficult to start chapters here than anywhere else. And apparently some of the barriers to creating them are ending. I don't know all the details on that, but I'd certainly be interested. I've joked about heading across the border and starting a Mexican chapter because it's so hard to do it in the United States.
That would be interesting, a hop across the border, in that regard, for the sake of the chapters. I guess, Angela, were you involved at all, or you've seen the workings of the... we've just lost Angela, in fact, so I won't bring in that point. WJB, are you involved with the London chapter, which is one of the more active ones? Could you give us a bit of background on that at all?
I haven't actually been personally very involved in the chapter in England. Alison Wheeler heads that up, and I gather that they are, as you say, one of the more active chapters. It's not something I've yet gotten involved with, but I think chapters are increasingly doing pretty important work across the world.
Yeah, so I mean, it's from our little Aussie point of view, we're waving the flag here, saying there's a new chapter, and this is a bit of a call for membership. If anyone is listening, or the people who are listening, if they happen to be Australian. Get involved, sign up, join the membership. It's possible you could be voting for a seat on the board before too long. Who knows? Okay, we'll move on from there, from the Aussie chapter stuff. And I guess this is probably where we're going to spend most of our time today, talking about adminship and some of the issues around adminship. WJB, I'll kick to you, because you were sort of wanting to start off a conversation really about the... I'll just drop that. Angela's taking a call. WJB, yeah, you were sort of mentioning about the RFA process, the removal of admins process, how that all goes. What's on your mind in that regard?
If we can sort of divide those up and start by talking about how we are appointing new admins at the moment, and it's obviously not a new issue, and it's something that's had to be thought about over the years. One of the reasons why I'm thinking about it particularly at the moment is that last month, 12 users were successful in requesting adminship, and that's the lowest number of new admins we have had in about 3 years. And I'm quite interested to know why people aren't stepping forward at the moment to stand in the process. Wikipedia is continuing to grow. We have the lowest, at the English Wikipedia, we have the lowest ratio of admins to users of all the projects. And really, ideally, as a bureaucrat and sort of having an eye on the request for adminship process, I'd really like us to be looking at setting records for high numbers of admin promotions, not low ones. And so I guess a little bit of soul searching is starting as to what is wrong with the process, how it can be made better, and in what way it's off-putting. One of the things that's been suggested is off-putting about the process, the number of questions that candidates are being asked at the moment, are often reaching well into double figures, and a lot of people sort of effectively being given an exam on Wikipedia policy. And I think in sort of previous times, there was much more of a habit people knew each other, or at least people were able to quickly review each other's contributions and form an opinion that way, whereas now people seem to be requiring sort of more and more the idea that lots and lots of questions need to be answered. And there is a suggestion that's being found off-putting. It's interesting that we have Angela here, because Angela, being one of the very first bureaucrats, was very much oversaw the process when it was getting started. And I think it's interesting to see just how much it's changed from the early days, when there'd probably only be 10 people commenting on admin candidacy, to these days, where numbers are nearing 100. and the process has become a lot less, I suppose, personal and intimate. So yeah, I was looking to sound people out as to just, you know, what thoughts they had on the way that we're selecting admins at the moment. Is there a better process than the request for adminship process that we use at the moment, or is there a way that that process can become more user-friendly and less daunting for potential good candidates?
Well, my sort of tuppence to start with, and I'll certainly ask Andrew in a moment about the changes that have occurred, you know, over time. But I think one of the big things is it a big deal or not? It's the, are we nervous about who should be an admin or not? Is it supposed to be a very high bar? If it is, I mean, there's merit to exams. You know, you don't let someone become a doctor without giving them lots and lots of exams, for instance. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that, you know, that adminship is that important or that sensitive, but you get the point. It's like maybe it's a good thing to have that high bar. But before we'll go into that, and I know that Darova and Kim have got some comments on this, but Angela, just a word from you on the change that you've seen, the evolution that you've seen from your time as a bureaucrat.
Yeah, well, when I first became an admin, I think only a couple of people commented on it, and it wasn't this kind of voting thing that you have now. When I first became a bureaucrat, it was quite easy to get consensus on people. You know, it wasn't hundreds of people wanting to weigh in and so on. So it's got much bigger, which reflects the growing size of Wikipedia, of course. But it's also got harder to become an admin, I think, because people don't know each other personally. They need something else to prove that person's going to be a good admin, and these questions might be one way of doing that.
Yeah, so are you saying, just to say, if you look at the current process, Angela, do you think the question, you know, I think WJB's saying that, look, we're not getting enough. I mean, in fact, just I'll come back to you, WJB. Is it a bit of an emergency? Are we going to get into trouble if we don't find ways of getting more people involved?
Well, I'm not sure it's an emergency that we have a problem. I think we do have enough admins that anything that needs to be done quickly, there's probably someone around to do. I think it's just more the mounting backlog of work and the fact that we're rather exhausting a lot of our administrators just by the fact that the same people can end up clearing the same lot of deletion requests or find themselves always handling the same kind of quite repetitive areas, and we're just not spreading the work, as I see it, across enough people. So we do have a problem with admin burnout. Also, so some of the most demanding admin tasks are the ones that, you know, don't notch up many actions. Closing a very contentious articles for deletion discussion could take hours, whereas, you know, very simple ones you could probably do 20 in an hour or whatever. So I think that shifting people away from sort of the performing mass tasks to spending more time on the difficult ones is something that requires a bigger admin base, and I think we'd see better discussions.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned, we're almost coming into sort of talk about competencies here, and there's a little story. You know, are the admins we've got? Are the, you know, is it possible? We want to enable people to be able to do the harder work, don't we? We want them to, you know, to get involved in that. And we've got to, I suppose there is a, one of the reasons that RFA is a, currently a high bar, or the fact it feels like it's so hard to get. Is that this nervousness about, you know, are they good admins? And we'll come to talking about ways of removing them in a moment. But first, there's a little story that Angela was telling me last night, and this relates to Angela and Tim, actually, Tim Starling, were telling me about this little incident that happened. I've just thrown a diff into the text link there, into the text chat, and you'll see that this edit was made by an anonymous IP to the article Javelin. And it was translations of the word not relevant to the topic, rewording the intro slightly. And this was made by the IP 82.110.130.66. I think if you look at the talk page and the block logs of that user, you'll see that almost immediately after making that edit, the IP address was indefinitely blocked for removing valuable content. That's one admin who freak of nurture, in fact, there blocked it because it was he thought it was an open proxy, and he thought it was removing valid content. So this particular IP then popped onto on probably unblocked template on their talk page and said, oh, come on, you know, I'd like to be unblocked, please. And that was allowed, and the IP then repeated the edit to remove this sort of surplus material. And this was admin then blocked him again because he felt he abused the unblocked template. Vandalism immediately following the unblock. So we've got two admins there issuing indefinite blocks on an IP address for an edit at Javelin. Angela, if you're still there, do you know who made that edit to Javelin?